This edition of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 24th of September 2015 on Monocle 24. Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Andrew Tuck, where today it's time for our weekly literary discussion. I'm joined by Kathy Rensenbrick, books editor of The Bookseller, who's brought in three novels to add to your shelf this month. Over the next 15 minutes, we'll discuss The Story of the Lost Child, the latest by mysterious Italian author Elena Ferrante. We'll take a look at Bill Clegg's Did You Ever Have a Family?, which was longlisted for this year's Man Booker Prize, and will end up on William Boyd's new release, Sweet Caress. That's all to come here on the Monocle Arts Review. Stay tuned. Well, welcome to the show, Kathy. We're going to begin with the story of The Lost Child by Elena Ferrante. But before we start talking about the actual book, there's a mystery about her. Explain the story.
She writes under a pseudonym. Nobody knows who she is. This is her fourth novel in a series of novels set in Naples. She's written other novels as well. And there's a lot of conspiracies around the fact that she may be a man, she may be a collection of men. I find that of itself fascinating. So I think it says so much about how we differently value the words men and women put into the world. I think if someone was writing under a male pseudonym, nobody would be thinking that person was a woman.
It's very clever that she's kept it actually secret for so long. Do we have any hint of why she doesn't want to be known?
Apparently not. I find that fascinating because I think if she writes so, there's so much in the books about literary life and book publishing and book publishing parties and academia that you feel that the person who's writing that must know of which they speak. So I feel if I was reading this book in English, I would kind of have an idea on who this person might be. So it feels to me that people, you know, if you are a literary person in Italy, must have an idea of who it is, but apparently not.
Okay, now to the story. Tell us what happens.
So this is the fourth novel. It's about a friendship, really. It's about these two girls growing up in Naples in quite a brutal and corrupt environment. One of them is called Elena, like the author, and the other one is called Raffaella, but always known as Lila. So they're known as Lenu and Lila, and they have this long friendship, often quite a toxic friendship. Lenu becomes educated, she escapes from the neighbourhood, she becomes an academic, she becomes an author, and Lila also does interesting things with her life. And often it feels that the battle, the struggle is who's getting to tell the story between these two women. The very first novel opens in the sort of at the end of the entire sequence with Lenu saying that Lila's son has phoned her to say that his mother has disappeared. And then we go back to the beginning of the story. So we always knew right at the beginning that this story was going to see us from the childhood of these girls into their sort of late middle age. And it's just endlessly fascinating. I love them because the books are full of violence. They're sort of blood-drenched. They're full of...
Kathy loves violence. Here we go.
Yeah. They're just full of so much energy. They're full of so much anger. They're such angry. I was discussing with someone recently about whether or not they're feminist. And I'm not, again, without getting into what exactly feminist means, they're full of rage at being a woman, I think. Full of rage at being a woman in a land where, in a situation where men get to say more.
And tell me, there's two things always tricky about this. So if a brand new book's out, can you dive in at book four, or do you think you really need to go back to the very beginning of this quartet of books to really understand the story?
I quite like diving in partway through a novel sequence, but I will admit I'm probably a bit peculiar in that. It seems a shame not to start at the beginning. So I'd say if you're in a bookshop looking at all the four books, then buy the first one. But having said that, if somebody gave you one out of sequence, I think you would start it and enjoy it.
And finally, the character of Naples itself. Does it come across as an important part of the narrative?
Yes, very much so. And again, reading them does make me wish I knew more about Italian politics, Italian society. I think if you had more knowledge, you'd find even greater riches there.
And you had maybe a gun and a knife as well, so you got your dose of violence along the way as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Doesn't necessarily make you want to go there. I'm not sure it's great for the Naples tourist board.
Well, that's The Story of the Lost Child, and it's published by Europa Editions, and it's available right now. Now, next on our list we have Did You Ever Have a Family? By Bill Clegg, a tale of loss and acceptance as the main character. June's house goes up in flames on the morning of her daughter's wedding, destroying her entire family. Now, Kathy, these are themes we often see in other books, we see in newspapers. Why did he choose to start with this dramatic opening?
It's such a good question. I mean, it's a big task to give yourself in a novelist. And I think we see it more in newspaper stories than we do in novels, precisely because you think, how on earth can you start with something quite so disastrous? And where do you go from there? There's a really striking, well, it's all striking, it's a very well-written novel, but there's a really interesting bit right at the beginning where he talks about the daisies that were picked for the wedding, you know, to decorate the wedding tables, turned into the funeral flowers. And then we're just left with this woman, June. Entire family has been destroyed, and she doesn't know what to do with herself. And she flees the sort of the neighbouring gossips, and just heads off in the road. And you would think, again, you would think, how, you know, why would anyone want to read this? What's going to happen to this character? But such is the strength of the novel that you just find that central question is interesting. How is June going to get over this trauma, and what's she going to do next?
And from the literal ashes, we see her pick out what she needs and come to some truths and discover some other things hidden in the ashes, I presume.
Yes, and of course, the other reason the novel works is because we want to find out what happened. So there's the simultaneously, we're interested in June heading off into the distance. What's she going to do? How could you ever get over that? But equally, as a reader, we don't know why this house exploded. There are lots of theories. And the narrative, quite interestingly, it's not all told from June's point of view. We cycle through lots of different characters, so the florist, the caterer. Really interesting dilemmas that the caterer, of course, never got paid. It's caused the caterer quite a lot of financial difficulties, but of course the caterer can't submit a bill for the wedding feast that was never eaten because everybody died that morning.
And we shouldn't make this too much just an author show, this is a book show, but Bill Clegg, again, fascinating character.
Yes, a big American agent, written two memoirs about his own addictions, and he can write a story, certainly.
Well, that's Did You Ever Have a Family? And it's out now. Well, lastly today, we're going to talk about Sweet Caress by William Boyd. The book was inspired by a series of found photographs, of which Boyd is an avid collector. Kathy, tell us about the pictures and the narrative that flows from them.
Oh, this is a lovely novel. So it opens in 1908 with the birth of Amory Clay. Initially, there's a confusion about whether Amory Clay is actually a boy or a girl. She is a girl. And Amory Clay becomes a photographer. And then the whole novel, which is intercut with photographs, is about her life and loves as a photographer, obviously during a time when it wasn't a particularly sensible or respectable career for a woman. Boyd is brilliant at this sort of fictional biography territory. So it's almost like a kind of a version with a female narrator, a counterpoint to his novel Any Human Heart, where he did a very similar thing. Any Human Heart is still one of my favourite novels of all time, I think, and this is a great story because, of course, Amory Clay as a photographer witnesses some of the great and interesting events of the 20th century, all of which was trying to make her life.
Now, just coming out, so it's beautifully caught up with it. So it's inspired by, it's an image that he saw on a photograph made him think about who took the picture or who was in the picture?
Well, I think it's both. And again, one of the great fun things about William Boyd's novels when he writes this type of novel is a lot of the characters in the book are real people who actually existed. And then some people aren't real people who actually existed. So I felt when I read it, I could agreeably just fall into a rabbit hole and spend my next few weeks just learning about photography and art in the 20th century and who was when there. So there's a character in it called Hannah Laura Hahn, who I think, if I've got my facts right, was a real photographer. This is in Berlin in the 1920s. But then there's also characters mentioned. So Sweet Caress comes from the epigraph by a French writer, and I think he isn't real. So there's this continual mix-up in that you don't know whether you're reading about real people or not.
So for a man who's fascinated by photography, he's managed to be inspired by a photograph. He's written the story of a photographer. And this book, it sounds like it does work as a little bit of a history of photography in those kind of rich years in the run-up to the Second World War.
I think so. And of course, it's quite brave to go to Berlin in that era, because everybody, I think, so firmly has Christopher Isherwood in their mind, and Goodbye to Berlin, and of course the film Cabaret. But you know, he does it really well. And then the Black Shirts, you know, she gets injured whilst trying to take pictures at a fascist rally in London. And before that, there's all the society stuff. So it's just if you're interested in anything to do with photography or life in the 20th century or how women made careers for themselves. There's also the legacy of the First World War hanging over the whole thing, because her father is damaged by his time in the trenches. And one of the first things in the book is her father tries to kill himself with her in the car. He drives into a lake. He drives into water, hoping that he can take her with him, and that's what she survives.
And just tell me, for you personally, this is obviously a writer who connects with you, whose writing you admire. Do you admire it for his ability to tell a story? You know, what is it about his writing that kind of really kind of hooks you in, do you think?
Well, I do like the good storytelling. I do. It sounds like the most obvious thing in the world. I do like a book that tells you a story. And what's wrong with that? But one of the other things I really like about him, actually, and I do like this in general about writers, there's a playfulness, fun. I like it when I enjoy the game around not knowing whether the characters are real or not. I enjoy imagining the wall he must have constructed to write this book. I like to think of all the photographs stuck up on his study wall and all the little things, and every so often him thinking like, oh, I think I probably need another character in there. Should I find someone real from history, or should I make someone up?
Well, that's Sweet Caress by William Boyd, and it's out now, and it's published by Bloomsbury. And that brings us to the end of today's show. Cathy Rensenbrick, thank you very much for joining me in the studio, as always. And great to have three books, actually, that, you know, as much about great authors as well as the tales on the page. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Andrew Tuck. My producer was Holly Fisher. Join us again tomorrow with our film review with critic Anna Smith. But for now, thank you very much for listening.